Welcome to Women Reconnecting, a show dedicated to helping women discover the missing link to wellness by taking listeners on a journey away from stress, fatigue, and overwhelm to a life they love. It's time to ascend from the daily stresses of life by reconnecting to your inner radiance so you can play full out and feel alive. With your host, the Reconnection Catalyst herself, Lisa Mizells.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Women Reconnecting. This is Lisa Mizells, founder of Femana, and in today's episode, we will be speaking to Gifted Angel Messenger, and she's going to talk about the spirit of oneness. So that's really what this show is all about, is how to reconnect with who you really are and how to go about doing that and what kind of conflicts get in the way of us doing that. So before I begin, let me introduce you to my guest, Angelica Rose. Angelica Rose is an angel walk-in. She's a universal gifted angel messenger, medium, inner spirit activation specialist since 1991, a certified hypnotist and author of ebooks, relaxation CDs, relaxation DVDs, talk on spiritual oneness and inspiration stickers. She's been ordained in India in 2005 and certified as a minister in love in 2007. Angelica also has media experience in a variety of areas, such as broadcasting an educational radio show, producing the entrepreneurial television show, publishing educational articles in a variety of national publications, being a guest on KIRO television, Marissa at 9, and numerous talk shows, and being interviewed on a variety of national magazines. Today, Angelica is going to be speaking about activating the inner spirit of oneness, letting go of human ego control for the heightened levels of confidence, joy, peace, vitality, health, and prosperity. Angelica Rose, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm excited. We have a beautiful day here and the sun shines out. The full moon is on the other side. And so it's exciting. And I'm so grateful to be here with you. And I thank you from my heart for doing this.
Oh, thank you. I'm really excited to find out more about how we let go of the human ego. So maybe you can just start by telling us, what is ego control?
Ego control is based on belief systems, and these belief systems have levels of conscious and unconscious cores that contribute to beliefs that are serving your inner spirit and those that are not serving your inner spirit, what I call self-defeating beliefs. And these self-defeating beliefs, when they're in the unconscious realm, they can pretty much push on buttons inside of you that triggers the ego control into our fight, flight, protect mode. And when they become up to the conscious awareness and you're committed to transforming them, then the ego doesn't have to kick in and try to protect through the fight, flight, protect mode. You're able to, through awareness, bring it to a healthier place, such as through affirmations, through really just diving in and just setting them free through embracing them and through really just saying, it's not who I am. You know, there's so many different tools that we could talk about with regard to moving through them so that the ego doesn't kick in. It's not that the ego's bad. A lot of times people want to shut it off or kill it off or make it into a bad thing. It's doing what it's programmed to do when it feels threatened or something is coming up that's not in alignment with that belief, then it goes into a fight, a flight, or protect mode. And so if you are aware that the ego is your friend and it's supporting you through awareness of something that's not in alignment, then you can actually see the pattern a lot quicker before it becomes very dramatic in your life through the mind chatter or through the emotional turmoil.
So the ego is really kind of like a primitive way of protecting us, maybe before we evolved into thinking more?
And that's a really great way of looking at it. The way I like to look at it is it's a program that is triggering the human, the protection of the body, the mind, and the emotions from overreacting or from something that feels like it could be danger. And its role is like, I just saw this vision. Like if you're driving in the car and you're about, and you have those, what do they call those pop-up pillows or whatever you call those things.
The airbags.
Yeah. Like if you're about to hit something, the airbag pops up and protects you. Well, it's the same thing with the ego. You're not going to say bad bag. You know, it comes up to protect. Well, it's the same thing. And part of my role as an angelic walk-in is I channel these expansive loving beings. I work with people's spirit guides. I'm able to see when people cross over to the other side. I work with the angelic realm and Christ love to help people see these self-defeating beliefs through a form of energy, since I read energies. And energies are a lot easier to transmute than when it's in a form as a belief. Because when it's in a form as a belief, the ego hooks on and thereby it goes into the fight, flight, protect mode. And that's why it has, you know, this bad connotation of it's keeping me from what I want in my life, or if it wasn't there, I would have a happier life. Well, it's not so much the ego that's doing it. It's the programs, the beliefs that are created that's triggering the ego to protect you. So if you can put aside the blaming, the judging, and finding things that aren't working for you, judging, and put that aside and start moving more into what is working for you and embracing what's working for you, then you're looking at transmuting that of which is not, and your ego won't kick in and go into the fight, flight, protect mode. And that's why when I work with people, I help them see first what's going on in those belief systems that's keeping them from moving more into alignment with their inner spirit. And then secondly, how to move more of their inner spirit into an activating portion so that their ego control becomes secondary and their inner spirit becomes primary, and thereby their purpose becomes more active because they're more in alignment with the universe and less with the ego that's controlling their life.
Yeah, that makes so much sense, because when we get into that energy of, you know, when the ego wants to protect us and those beliefs from our experiences come up, it moves us into a different energy where we kind of spiral down. You know, we start judging ourselves and then blaming, and that just kind of spirals down. So I could see where you would definitely get stuck.
And that's where the duality comes in. And which is kind of fun that I got to experience this while I was swimming. I really get a lot of messages. And one of the things that happens is duality and the ego control get such a bad rap in that when you see things that are not in alignment with being happy or being positive, there could be a tendency to want to reject that of which is not feeling good or that of which is not giving positive thoughts. And so the focus is too much on the outer world and not enough on the inner world. The outer world has past experiences or conditions or beliefs that have been created from your own internal world, and also present experiences that have come into fruition. And a lot of times people can focus on the positive things, but they also can focus in on what they don't like in the external world, and thereby their attention gets sucked into that. And that's where that duality type of living comes into play, the good, bad, the right, the wrong, the happy, the sad. And if this wasn't here, then I would be happier. And if we could just shift that or fix this or teach this or save this or caretake this, then this wouldn't be part of my happy life. And again, the attention is so much on trying to change something outside instead of looking inside and transforming what's inside so that the stress isn't there. And in place of that, there's more of an inner peace. And when I work with people, I help them to see how to turn their outer world, focus more into their inner world, and thereby have more of a flow with life rather than a flow against life, and move as if you're in the world rather than of the world.
Yeah, and so maybe help me if I'm thinking about this correctly. So when we have feelings and thoughts, that we label them instead, and so labeling is judging. So instead of just being, we're judging. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, you said that perfectly. And that's what was really kind of funny to see, because the mind, the human mind, has a tendency, because it's programmed to its beliefs, has a tendency to judge. And so when you're using your human mind and out into the world rather than the feelings of enjoying, then you're in a duality type of living. And if you just see what's there as neutrality instead of polarity, then there's no judgment.
And it's hard to do that when you're spiraling in that, you know, phase of reaction.
Well, and that's why the mind, that's why I work with people to help them move their vibration of their energy, because we're all energy. Mm-hmm. So what I do is rather than focusing on the form, which is the beliefs, I focus on the energy behind the beliefs and help them to raise their energy where there's no attachments or fears or insecurity hook-ins, and transmute those lower vibrations, those denser vibrations, to more of an elevated, more of an expansive place. And when I say I don't mean I alone. I work with these expansive beings, and it is an unraveling. Some people want it like an overnight thing. It's a commitment. They have to be willing to commit to being happy, to commit to letting go of the blaming, the judging, and finding fault. They have to be willing to do their inner focus work through meditation, taking care of themselves, and choosing to be in that place of happiness, and stop entertaining those that are not in that space, free of judging them. And through that partnering, then we're able to help them to transform their life so they don't spiral down, so that they spiral neutrality and up. And this is a process that once you get above this line, I saw it, you know, when I was working with people in these special events that I do, I saw the line. It's like a veil, and these different veils. And when you finish learning a certain set of lessons, you move through a level of a veil, like a line above this veil, then you're in another set of lessons. And once you complete those, then you move into another veil of vibration. And your energy keeps expanding and elevating. But when you give that of which you're currently learning too much power, you stay stuck in that vibration. It's almost like a spider web that you're stuck in those grids of energies, and you feel stuck and lost and confused and not knowing where you're going. And so part of what I do is help to move those grids, those dense grids, out of the way, and help you move your energy to a totally different vibratory place.
Oh, that's really interesting. So can you give us an example of, like, what is, I think we talked about ego control, but what would, give us an example of what that would look like, and then how to calm it.
Okay. So ego control can come in various ways. And we talked about a big one, which is judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime anybody judges something, there's a labeling of duality that kicks in, and it comes from the human mind. And so if you catch yourself moving into any form of judgment or then that's a big red flag that your ego is about to kick in through the fight, flight, protect mode. Mm. The second one is if you're noticing emotionally that you're feeling sad or anything that's not coming from a vibratory place of love and embracing, then again, you're getting stuck in attachment to that of which you're learning or moving through in life. And your attention then gets hooked in and your ego comes into active will. Another one is if you're in a negative environment and you're giving it power, your ego will kick in. Another one, if you're experiencing fears, which is basically false evidence that appears so real that it convinces you that it's real, your ego will kick in. Another one is when you're expanding and moving into different vibratory places of your life, what some people call their comfort zone, mm-hmm. and you feel unworthy, your ego control will kick in. So some of the tools that will help you move out of that, in addition to some of the things that I do, is meditation. I strongly encourage people. Meditation helps to quiet the mind chatter, calm the emotions. Mm-hmm. I have like different levels of meditation. I have one that focuses on tools to help to quiet the mind and calm the emotions. I have ones that helps to expand the mind and the emotions to that of your inner spirit's mind and your inner spirit's emotions. Then there's one on gratitude and appreciation. So there's different levels of meditation. Chakra balancing is another one that I can read the energies, and you can do this on your own. You just learn the colors and the sounds and you open up your chakras, and that helps to calm the ego control. Music, you know, calming music, incense, bubble baths, salt baths, saline solutions, the nature. Those are some examples to help to calm the ego. The biggest thing that really, and this is in a book that I'm writing, is that when your attention is more on the outer world than that of which it's on the inner world, and you give the outer world more power, then your ego control will kick in if it's not in alignment with its belief systems that are serving you.
Yeah, I see that.
It's a biggie for everybody because we're in the flipping year. This is the year that the ego control starts to switch to that of your inner spirit, and time is speeding up. And so a lot of people right now are going through confusion, through reactive modes. It's been like this for quite some time with the weather and conditions on the planet, and people reacting to it because their ego, if it's under a certain vibratory line, becomes very aggressive. Mm-hmm. And if they're not on the vibe of love, they're going to be on the vibe of hate. And the hate will come through in active behaviors. And so it's really easy to get mesmerized by certain things and get caught up in the fear and insecurity. And then you're stuck in that vibration as well.
Yeah, that's why I don't watch the news.
Well, and it's really interesting that a lot of people watch it and then they complain about it, and it's like an addiction. Yeah. So you can't even blame those that do because they're addicted to the stimulus.
Yes, I can see where that would happen. I have some people that I know that get so irritated. I mean, they yell, they scream at the TV.
Right. Yeah. It's an addiction. It's almost like someone saying, I really don't like this, but then they want to see what happens.
Well, and it fuels the adrenaline. So they get kind of that.
It's the ego. Yeah. They're hooked into the adrenaline of the drama. And that program is being played out, and so they're sleeping in that program.
Wow. So tell us a little bit more about activating the inner spirit.
So when I work with people, and it depends on where people's vibratory energies are, and I always have the integrity of saying I can't work with everybody because I always tune into their spirit guides. I always tune into the angelic realm and these expansive loving beings to check in and see if they're ready for something that they can help with. And when I say ready, I don't mean like their willingness is there, but they have to really be ready to move through these energy vibratory levels. And if their body or their emotions or their mind is so caught up in the drama and they're hooked into it and they say they're ready, but they're not willing to take the steps to break the pattern, then I'm not interested in working with them because they're just going to pay me for something they're not willing to change.
Right.
So when people are ready, and we'll talk about those that are really ready, then what happens is I tune in and I speak to their spirit guides through energy. They communicate through energy, not through words. Words is a human language. It's not a ethereal or non-physical form language. And so they speak to me through energy. I guide them to where these energy grids are in people's emotions, mental body, and physical body, since they can't see it. And we start the process of transmuting the belief systems in the form of energy, so there's no addictive hook-ins or patterns that are keeping them. Their role then, after that transmuting is starting, then these expansive beings download the vibration that's a higher vibration. So it turns into a form, which is a new belief. Their role is to continually focus on that belief and let go of the energy that's being released through their thoughts or their emotions or their body that no longer serves them will come up, and then it gets transmuted if they don't give it any feeding attention or any focus or any talking about or entertaining. And so eventually the other energy becomes more solid. And it's a process of unraveling enough of those self-defeating denser energies to a point where the other energy starts to move more into like filling a glass. If you have a glass, three glasses, one is half full with clear water, another one's half full with polluted water, and then you have one that has a mixture of both. Well, the mixture of both is the duality. And so what we're doing is through clearing out the mixture that what's not serving them, you get to, through awareness, see the half that is not as clean. And I'm using half as an example. And then we start diluting that with more of the pure energies to a point where the pure starts to dominate over the ones that is not as pure, and then eventually it has less of an addictive hook into you and less of a pull into you. So the light becomes brighter and the energy becomes brighter, and that of which is not becomes less dominant in your life, where you start to feel this connection to the universe and your life is at a magical place.
Mm. Yes. That's where we all want to be.
Yeah, and it's a process. And so there was a time when I was working with all types of vibrations, and being an ultra sensitive, it was a challenge for me. And so I decided that there are certain things that I work with certain, and it's not even something I have to decide anymore. It's just the people that aren't ready don't even come to me.
Yeah.
It's almost comical. When people come to me, their life transforms, but it does take some time based on how committed they are. They can't just be half in and half out. They have to be really willing and ready to commit, and that commitment entails them doing their part with choosing to be happy, choosing to stop the complaining, the judging, and the blaming, choosing to, you know, do the things that feels appropriate for them. It's not me telling them what to do, because I would never want to do that. Mm-hmm. It's their guidance that they're getting from their spirit guides and from these amazing loving beings that I absolutely love to death that will help them. And they have to be willing to take the responsibility for their life. And if they do, it's very magical.
So when you work with people, you actually work with their spirit guides.
I work with their spirit guides, the angelic realm, the expansive loving beings, Christ love and universal love. The spirit guides of them I work with to get clarity on what's going on. In addition to reading the energies and their energy grids, I can see from their spirit guides, they talk to me and tell me where they're at. That saves time. Because if I just read all the energy grids and then I have to dissect where the energies are and try to figure out what's covered in that, it takes a lot longer. So it's like a therapist would be then. So instead of doing that, I'm talking to their spirit guides and asking them where they're currently at today, not yesterday, but today. I work from today onward. I don't go into their past because the past is gone. Mm-hmm. And that's what a therapist does. It looks at your past and wants to talk to you about why things happened and talk about your family and why that happened. I don't go there. I don't discount therapy. I just don't go there. So what I focus in on, because I'm not interested in entertaining the story, I'm interested in expanding the truth. So talking about the story keeps you stuck in it. And my focus is to expand the truth. And so I work with the energies rather than the story. And so when people work with me, they have to be committed to not giving me their stories because it's not of interest to me.
That's probably very difficult.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's definitely, that's why I say they have to be ready.
Yeah. So what kind of people do you work with? Because I hear you saying, you know, that people have to be ready. You only work with those type of people. And they learn how, you know, they can't complain about things. They have to be ready to, you know, be responsible for their life, to choose that. So what do you work with people, and how do they, like, what kind of people are attracted to?
So there's different levels. And so people that are already on the spiritual path and really want to be happy, they're tired of the drama. They're tired of the excuses, and they're willing to take they're really, really ready to transform their life. They're almost to a point where they almost say the same thing. I'm so close to knowing what my purpose is, but I'm not sure I know how to get there. Or I'm so ready to move my life into greater levels of love and joy, and I feel like something's standing in the way. Mm-hmm. Or I really want to be more open and receptive to my inner spirit instead of experiencing this sense of mixed up and down kind of experience. Or I want to be able to know who I really am rather than who I'm really not. Okay. So those are some common things that people say. Now, I do work with people that do have the stories, but I don't work with them in the form of doing a lot of the initial energy work. So I have this online series that's a 4-part series, includes a meditation and a discussion that helps them move their energy from the drama to that of starting the awakening. And then I have various CDs and DVDs and the Living Life as You Always Dreamed book that helps them to start the process of their awakening. So it's not like I completely turn them away if that comes into, because whenever someone comes to me and says, I want you to help me, then the universe has brought them to me. Mm-hmm. It just depends on what level of help I can give them. So it may just be the products or the online series initially, and then after that, it could be more like private sessions or the special events or the other things. And that's where my integrity will come into play, is if they're not ready for the other private sessions or the other stuff, I just don't want to get them to a point where I'm giving their hopes so high up and they're not ready. But the products and the online series will get them ready.
Well, that's perfect timing. So why don't you tell our listeners what you have? You have a special offer for them.
Yes, and the special offer is something that I have really got strongly guided to offer. So listen up. Get a piece of paper and pen. If you miss it, you can turn the back, what is it, rewind.
And I'll have it posted, the link posted on my blog on femana.com.
Yeah, I love that name, by the way, femana.com. So this is the package, and there is also the individual sessions. And so I'm going to give you two websites. The package is one that encompasses a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm giving an extra special gift if you mention Femana, that's how you heard about me. And the show is going to be airing in June, so by the time you hear it, you have probably a week or 2 weeks, or I'm going to actually only give you a week, because if the ego has a tendency to procrastinate, then you won't do it. So from the time you hear this, you're going to have, I'm hearing only 3 days to make your decision to get this special. Mm-hmm. So it's Angelica, angelicarose.webs.com. And that's the website for the special. So if you go there, you're going to see, you're going to get the following items. You're going to get the ebook, Living Life as You Always Dreamed, which talks about how to move your consciousness to more of an elevated place by building up the areas of your self-worth, your confidence, and moving out of the fear, developing a greater relationship with yourself and with others, learning how to move more into a prosperity consciousness. There are eight, what I call eight distractions that keeps us stuck in the duality, and it talks about how to move that to a oneness. Plus many other things. Then you also get a four-part MP3 or MP4 online series to activating your inner spirit by creating a oneness with universal love versus duality. Okay. You also get an MP3 or an MP4 on activating your inner spirit. A CD or a DVD would be extra. Then you also get six articles to support you on your journey from duality thinking to oneness. And you get to choose which ones you want. They're listed. Actually, all six are listed on this website.
Great. And we're almost out of time. So what is the other website that you have?
Oh, okay. And then the other website is heart, H-E-A-R-T, of motivation.webs.com. And if you mention the Femana Show, instead of spending, it's originally like $141, and so regular price would be $99.95. If you mention the show, you'll get $30 off of that, so it would be $69.95, so you'll save $30.
Awesome. That's wonderful.
But you have to do it within 3 days after the show to get
that
special.
Okay, perfect. And that one gives you, that one's the one-on-one?
This is the package, the Angelica Rose, and then the Heart of Motivation one is the individual sessions and products and so forth if you don't want to get the package. And if you mention the show and you tell me what you want, I'll work out something that'll be special for you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Angelica. This was really, really great, and I know it's going to help a lot of people. So,
thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the show. And everyone, we will see you on the next episode.
Listen to Women Reconnecting, the only show that talks about the missing link to wellness and fulfillment, with your host, the Reconnection Catalyst herself, Lisa Mizells, and her guests as they share what's working now to feel alive and fulfilled in life. Would you like to ascend from the daily stresses of life and discover how to stop merely existing and how to play full out so you can feel alive again? Listen as guests share simple tips to step up your wellness factor and excitement for living so you can create the life you want. This show is not intended to replace any medical advice from a licensed practitioner. Consult your doctor before trying something new.
Hello and welcome to Women Reconnecting. I'm Lisa Mizells, founder of Femana and host of the show Women Reconnecting. And today I'm really excited to bring you my guest because she is she's a registered nurse. So we're kind of been in the same health field, practicing in that arena. And she's going to talk about why emotions are an integral part of our healing and growth. And today we'll be talking with Kelly Springer, and Kelly has a lot of information to bring you. She's been through a lot, and I think you'll resonate with her story. The pieces of it are very relatable. So I'm excited to bring you Kelly. She's a registered nurse with 13 years of experience in the psychiatric field, and she's worked with a variety of populations and issues. She also has 25 years invested in her own personal growth, while she's been on her healing path from her childhood physical and sexual abuse. And she's been practicing as a Reiki master for over 8 years. And unique to her Reiki practice is her ability to incorporate her professional and her personal experiences, as well as her intuitive guidance. And this supports people on their paths of personal healing and insight. And Kelly seeks to empower others to develop greater self-compassion and understanding while they're exploring the path and choices that actually lead them to where they stand today. So really what she's doing is she introduces them to themselves. And another one of her passions is writing. So Kelly writes a weekly blog, and it's the winner of one lovely blog award entitled Relentless. And it is there that she challenges society and our own minds as she continues on her journey of personal growth and self-awareness. Kelly's the author of the upcoming book Relentless, A Human Experience on a Spiritual Journey of Forgiveness. And Relentless is a journey of conscious responsibility and revelation that is going to inspire anyone that has suffered at the hands of another. So Kelly, welcome.
Hi, thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome. And I hope I introduced the how you introduce, is it you introduce your the others to themselves?
To themselves. Or? Yeah, you said it correctly. Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
One of my clients said that about me. She was introducing me to a group, and she said Kelly introduces people to themselves, and it was just so fitting. She said, "Use it."
Yeah.
So, yeah. Because amazingly, people don't really know themselves very well.
Well, and that's perfect, and that's, I think, why we have been resonating, is because that's kind of what I do, is help people reconnect with themselves. I think that's really, really super important, because that's often the missing piece.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, let's jump in, and let's, I'd like to know, as individuals, how we've come to know so little about, you know, our feelings. Let's start there.
Well, I mean, it literally is a global and societal issue. We are not taught what our feelings are, mm-hmm. other than to say that anybody that appears with any emotions is labeled emotional or sensitive. Yeah. And all that is a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. Even the most simple things people do to children, not meaning it in a harmful way, but for instance, I remember as a kid, and then as a mother, came back to me, was, you know, a child falls down and hurts themselves. So often someone will say, "Oh, you're all right." Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking to myself as a kid, "I am? Like, I'm hurting. This doesn't feel all right," you know,
right.
"But okay, I'm all right." Now, again, it sounds benign, but the message is deny what you're feeling.
Yeah, stuff it.
just your emotional outburst here, you know, isn't necessary. You're okay. Mm-hmm. And internally, it starts to make us question what we're feeling. And that's the beginning of the insidiousness of us denying what our feelings are. Oftentimes, if we have a conflict with somebody of whatever nature, not necessarily angry, but sometimes people's response will be, "Well, you don't have a right to feel that way." Well, there's no right or wrong way to feel. But again, it begins to play with our minds and deny our emotional experience. So, you know, emotions, you know, and as that goes on throughout the years of our lives, we begin to see emotions as our enemy, you know. And since nobody teaches us what emotions are or how to deal with them, we try to shove them away. Keep them in the closet, put them in a box, mm-hmm. until eventually we're in adulthood and all of a sudden they're shooting out left and right, causing chaos internally, physically, and in our relationships.
Yeah, and so much of the time, because we've stuffed it or shoved it away, we don't even realize why we're reacting the way that we are.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Right, because we don't have a relationship with the emotion, or we don't have a relationship with how that emotion originated.
Yep.
And emotions, really, they're just our friends. I'm going to get a little bumper sticker. Emotions are our friends.
talk about what they are.
Yeah, well, emotions are just a tool for us. They're just another avenue for us to understand that something is trying to be brought to our attention, to learn, to grow from. Mm. So, you know, if we're constantly living in a state of anger, the issue isn't the anger. The issue is what's underneath the anger. So what am I angry about? Mm-hmm. How did this anger begin? What was it initially caused by? And what did I need in that situation that I didn't get? And how can I fix that now? So it isn't the anger that's the problem. It's our response to the anger or the denial of the anger. Right. So again, if we take a look at our emotions, we begin to understand our needs. We begin to understand how we can grow and heal. Instead of running from them, we should be embracing them and thanking them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really important. Do you ever work with like the inner child? I know a lot of people work with the inner child and going back to a situation, a traumatic situation, and then really giving that situation, the feelings, what they need.
Absolutely. Yeah. For me personally, that has been a key component to my healing. I have many inner children. Yeah. I don't just have one. I'm not, I don't have multiple personalities or any such thing, but there are different parts of me that were at different stages of development. And each of those children, you treat them like they're separate entities, even though, yeah, I know they're part of me. Right. Each of those children have different needs and different situations or emotions that are attached to them. And so it's easy for us to deal with them as a separate entity, especially when you're dealing with trauma. But it's easier for us to deal with that separate entity, that child, instead of feeling it all just as we are in present life, you know? Yeah. So I envision, let's say, a five-year-old. And what does that five-year-old need? What is she trying to say? How can I help her? Et cetera, et cetera. So I take care of and encourage my clients to take care of the needs of that child that is seeking something, or that part of them that is seeking healing. You know, what do they need? Do they need a hug? They just need to be heard? Do they need to hit something? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is they need, we now need to give to them. We need to parent ourselves. It's very key.
And it just, I just got a memory or something of my kids when they were growing up and how I lived in Hawaii, and, there were so many cultures there that were very, just reserved. Mm-hmm. And so those children were not, they were allowed to be only what their parents told them they could be, uh-huh. You know, and how stressful would that be to be? I just remember there was so much pressure on these children that grew up like Japanese or Chinese, mm-hmm. or, you know, different cultures that really want the best for their children, but they're so structured that they have no outlets. I just see that, and I don't necessarily think that that's the best way to, I mean, I shouldn't say this, but to raise a child, that's not how I want to raise my children.
Right. But as you said, you know, they're with good intentions, mm-hmm. but it's when we deny our emotions, or when we're putting such limitations on the experience of children, who then become the adults who are struggling, we're really cutting off part of their whole, mm-hmm. you know, you can't separate fully from your emotions. You can deny them, you can suppress them, et cetera, et cetera, but they're not going to go anywhere until you deal with them. And so, yes, to, you know, have these strict limitations that all societies and all ethnic groups put on in different various ways, right. it really does us a disservice on a personal level and on a societal level. You know, it's so funny. I remember when I first worked in the psychiatric field, there's literally posters, you know, with little, before they had emojis out, with little smiley faces that were all over it. So this was 20 some years ago, mm-hmm. With little, you know, different faces on it showing emotions, because people didn't even know what to call their emotion, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of times when I work with people and if I've asked them, what they're feeling, they'll give me a thought. Well, I think that blah, 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 and she and he and they and I and blah, 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 and it's just not, and on and on they'll go. Mm-hmm. And then I listen, and then I say at the end of it, okay, but I asked you how you were feeling. A feeling is one word.
Right.
Feeling is mad, sad, angry, hurt, betrayed, humiliated, embarrassed, enraged. You know, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it is hard. It's hard because we're in our minds. We're not mm-hmm. in that feeling spot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so often people are afraid that if they feel the feeling that they're you know, struggling with or avoiding, that it will consume them. And it's actually the opposite. By denying it, we feed it.
Right.
And it becomes bigger and bigger. And that's when it gets the power over us. Because then we begin to act from an unconscious pattern and an unconscious path.
Right.
That's when it has the power. But when we look at it head on, we say, oh, there you are, rage. Wow, you're big. You're strong. What is it that you're hiding underneath you, rage? When we look at it and talk to it, speak to it, listen to it, it loses its power over us. And we are able to consciously have the feeling, consciously act instead of, you know, from that unconscious reactive path.
Right. Yeah. Because I mean, when we look at society, we like to see society as, you know, peaceful and, in line and not rebellious. And it's we are shoving our emotions so that we are not rebel, so that we don't react. But that's kind of like the opposite of what we really need to be doing. So we need to be facing it head on so that we can deal with it at that point. So later we don't become rebellious.
Right.
But I think what we're doing is we're doing the opposite.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yes, we're defeating our own purpose.
Yeah. So what do emotions play in our personal growth?
Well, they're tied to anything and everything, from what we eat to how we dress to how we speak to people at work to how we speak to our spouses, our children, how we interact with the environment itself, animals. It's part of everything. You know, it's part of the entire tapestry. And so when we become aware of our emotions, we literally begin to understand ourselves. Mm. And when we understand ourselves, we can make healthier and clearer choices instead of just being completely unaware of why we're shoving that donut in our mouth, or why we're yelling at our husband, or why our boss is driving us crazy, even though a part of our rational mind is saying he's just doing his job. When we understand our emotions, we're understanding ourselves. And when we understand ourselves, we can make healthier choices.
Yeah.
We can take a step back. It gives us like a little bit of space, you know, a little bit of a buffer. Instead of just kind of, you know, like you said, being in your mind and reacting from that crazy hamster wheel in our head, we can take a step back and say, oh, wow, okay, my boss is just doing his job. But when he looks at me that way, that reminds me of when Dad used to look at me that way, when he was correcting me for something that I felt was unjustified, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So you can go back to that time and understand, you know, that annoyance and that anger really has nothing to do with your boss. It has to do with that time when you were a kid and how you felt powerless in that situation at the time. So you go back and you deal and you heal with that situation from the kid. So next time you're with your boss, you don't get as an intense of a reaction.
And you just keep doing that over and over.
Over and over. Amen, amen. Over and over. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's never an end. That's the important part for people to understand. People will say, they'll come to me and say, well, how long will this take? Well, probably until the day you die. Mm-hmm. The goal is something, certainly depending on the level of intensity or how deep the emotion or situation is connected. Some of those things can take a lifetime. And some are just, of course, quick fixes.
Right.
But a lot of it is layers, you know. We just reach deeper and deeper layers of understanding and healing and releasing. So it's not about when is it done. It's just about it loses its intensity, it loses its frequency, and you become more aware and familiar with it. Like, oh, here it is again. Okay, what can I do? Instead of getting caught up in it and being spun out of control.
Yeah, that's so important. And I think when we take ourselves back to those events that happened and how it's shaped our lives and who we are today, we can see that, and I know a big part of what you do is forgiveness. So we can see that when these pieces that happen to us, although bad, or we label them bad, or that has, you know, they've created a pattern through our lives where we are reactive or whatever that might be, they are part of us, and they are our kind of our gift.
Yes.
Because, yeah, can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, they are our gift. Simply put, I mean, there's no other way to put it. They're a gift. Because again, it's like opening a box, you know, and finding what's inside this that I didn't know or remember about myself. And when you know and remember something, then you can look at it and heal it. Mm-hmm. Then you can look at it, heal it, and become more of your true self instead of your reactive self.
Right. Gosh.
And that's what we're here for. We're here to be our true selves. At least that's my belief.
Yep.
And, you know, part of that is discovering and learning and understanding some of the ickies and emotions. Of course, emotions aren't all, you know, uncomfortable. There's a myriad of emotions for us to experience. We need to embrace them all. You know, I sometimes feel like I'm losing the word here, but the personal growth, New Age movement, you know, focus on the love, only the love, only on the present, only on the now, and say your positive thoughts and write in your journal and put up your vision board. They're all wonderful things. I would never tell anybody not to do them.
Right.
You should. They're pieces of the puzzle. But one of the biggest pieces in the puzzle is your emotions. And so you can do all those other things I mentioned, but they will only take you so far on that elevator of personal growth. They can only carry you so far, because you can post all the things you want on your vision board and write I love you notes and, you know, all over your dashboard. But if the underlying emotion in your subconscious is saying I'm a piece of crap,
mm-hmm.
guess which one weighs out?
Yep.
This is a subconscious one. So that's why we need to bring these things to light, because they hold more power than the post-it note that says you're beautiful.
Yeah, and it's so hard because we're almost expected to be perfect. And I know that's shifting, but I think that causes people to, again, shove it and not address the icky stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fact is we are perfect, even with our icky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Icky stuff is part of what makes us. So to pretend that none of us have that is disingenuous. There is no perfect people. I just wish we could just destroy the word, like take it all apart. You know, there is no perfect. So even if I'm mad, I'm perfect. There's nothing wrong with the core of who I am just because I'm mad. If I'm depressed, I'm still perfect. If just because I can't walk around every day, all day long in a state of bliss and contentedness doesn't mean I'm not perfect. We're here for the experience of humanity. And part of humanity is emotions.
And being imperfect.
Yes. And experience it all. You know, we need to know the extremes, right? We need to know bliss in order to know misery. We need to know.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. So everything is teaching us something. And it's okay to have thoughts and feelings that just, you know, aren't necessarily deemed pretty, but we all have them. So it's not about getting rid of the thought. It's about understanding it and listening to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really important. So is there anything else about the connection between our bodies and our health and our emotions, or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again, if we just think of, you know, the premise that everything is energy, emotions are energy. They say, you know, energy in motion. So anything that is not expressed, as any emotion that is not expressed, gets attached, stays, remains in our body,
mm-hmm.
in ourselves, literally. Mm-hmm. And they can, you know, they've done studies where they have been able to map where different emotions are experienced for everybody in the body.
Yeah.
So, you know, so whatever emotions we were holding on to, that's where they will reside in the body. So, for instance, massage therapists know this. Sometimes they'll be giving somebody a massage, and all of a sudden the person bursts out crying. Well, it's not because they're hurting them or they're doing something wrong, but it's getting an emotional release that's been trapped in the body. So anything we don't express or deal with emotionally stays with us. And if we never address it, initially it's disease, that we have, but then it's a disease that we get until we, you know, the body can only handle it so long until it'll keep sending you a bigger and bigger message until you have an illness or a pain or an ache, something that's like staring you right in the face saying, look at me, look at me. One of the tools I use with my clients is for them, oh, it's my lower back that's hurting me, or this shoulder is always, you know, causing me a problem. Well, let's go there. Let's see what the emotion is that's sitting there. And they look at me like, ha, what? You know, like I'm crazy. But when we travel there and we begin to, you know, envision, listen, there's thoughts and feelings that are sitting there. And it's amazing. If you listen to your body, it will also reveal your emotions that need to be addressed.
Yeah, I always say that to my clients as well. It's like our bodies talk to us. They're, you know, first it's whispers, then it's pain because it's yelling at us, you know, listen to me, listen to me. Yeah. So listen to the thoughts and the emotions. And so I love that. Go to that place wherever there is pain or aches or any discomfort and just talk to that place and see what's going on, what thoughts, what emotions, what's coming up.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's great. Absolutely. So how do we begin the process of identifying and understanding and expressing our feelings?
Well, literally, if you need to, look up for feeling words, because like I said, people are very limited in their vocabulary. And one of the tools that, you know, I know I've spoken to you about before is tapping. It's a wonderful tool to kind of uncover the layers and experiencing the emotions. But if people aren't interested in tapping or don't have the time to kind of look it up and go through it, a great tool is like stream of conscious writing, where let's say you're sad about something or feel betrayed. You just sit there and you write. You write whatever is coming to your mind. It's not about correct grammar and punctuation and being nice and being kind. It's whatever garbage is in your head. You get it out, you put it on a piece of paper, you write it.
Yeah, that's so really powerful.
Right, so you take something that is energetic and in your mind and put it into physical form. So it helps alleviate some of that, like I said, the hamster wheel of going on and on and on in your head. And sometimes people are afraid, oh, well, I don't want to, you know, somebody will see that. Okay, so now you can burn the paper if you choose.
Yeah.
Rip it up, destroy it, whatever, and it asks that it be released into, you know, whatever is comfortable for you, but I say into the light for healing. You can do that 1,000 times over. You can literally say to anger, what do you want to tell me? Why are you here? And you can listen or you can write it out. I think writing out is a better avenue, again, because it prevents you from just sitting there and kind of babbling in your own mind, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, anger, what are you trying to tell me? Why are you here? What do you need? And a lot of times, especially with anger, underneath anger is what we call a more vulnerable feeling. A lot of times it's sadness or hurt or some form of pain that's under there. But we like to feel angry because, you know, when we're angry, we feel bigger and stronger.
I think a lot of people can't even identify anger.
Because we're taught it's wrong,
yeah.
You know, which is just silly. It's just an emotion. And again, you know, the mantra that we hear is love, love, love. Absolutely, we should focus on all that. But love yourself and first and foremost. And in loving yourself, admit that you sometimes get angry. Hello, right?
Yeah.
I haven't met anybody that's never gotten angry. I, you know, really haven't. And so it's just part of this makeup and this experience. You know, why would we have all these emotions if we weren't meant to experience them?
I know I've been in a situation before where it's, you know, I'm in a like a negative space and I keep reminding myself I'm here because I get to experience this. So this is something I get to experience. And it kind of shifts the way that you feel about things.
Exactly. Yes. And that's when your choice comes in. How far do I want to take this experience? Do I want to sit in anger for days, weeks, the rest of my life? Do I just want to say, I'm feeling angry. This is why I'm feeling angry. Okay. Thank you, anger. You can go now. Or, as you said, sometimes it's just that sense of, I have this choice. You know, I have the choice to feel it. Right now I'm feeling it. And even in that simple acknowledgement, you find it takes it down a notch.
Yes, absolutely. And I know for our listeners, they're going to want to know more about this. And I hear you have a free gift for them.
Right. If they are interested in speaking with me further, I can offer them a 20-minute free consultation. If they can go on my website, and if they mention your name, if they just mentioned the name Lisa, I can talk with them about perhaps, you know, what dominant emotion they might have and maybe the message is sending or where it might be resonating in their body. But I can offer them that free 20-minute consultation. And like I said, they can just mention the name, your name, Lisa, when they contact me.
Kelly, that's really, really generous. Thank you. I think... I hope you don't get bombarded. And that's going to be very valuable because, you know, if somebody has a pain or an issue or a complaint, you can help them link it to their emotion.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. And how can people contact you?
Well, my website is www.anamkarakelly.com. And first I'll say Anamkara means soul friend. So, and I'll spell it. It's A-N-A-M-C-A-R-A, and then Kelly is spelled K-E-L-L-I-E. And if they just want to check out my blog itself, they can also go on kellyspringer.com.
Great. And those are going to be on the blog post that the listeners can go to famana.com and read about Kelly, get her background, connect with her on social media, and the website and the free gift information will be there as well. So Kelly, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Lisa. I appreciate reaching out and being able to connect on our mutual desire to help others heal and understand themselves and grow and learn. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you. And everybody listening, thank you for listening to this episode, and we'll be back.
As always, we appreciate you listening to Women Reconnecting, where you get inspired to reconnect with who you really are and create a life that brings you joy. With each episode, we bring you new strategies to feel your best and discover new possibilities for your life. Make sure to listen again as we bring you new and exciting guests that will help you to keep moving forward along your path so you can have fun, play full out, and really feel alive. Until next time, enjoy life.